I have a commission for you. Contact every church that you can find in Kentucky and let them know we have no students from Kentucky. We need at least one by this time next year. Did you do that? If we got more than one, okay, but we need at least one from Kentucky. I'm fearful that you're here and just won't let us know, but nonetheless, as I've had the opportunity these last years to visit a lot of mission fields, there are so many memories, there are so many stories to tell. But for some reason, I feel compelled to share with you the journey the Lord has brought me through, the testimony that I know best. And I think I want you to hear it primarily because I'm nobody from nowhere. And I have a suspicion most of us feel that way. I was 13 years old, sitting on the back pew of a little Baptist church in Panacea, Florida, when the Holy Spirit came through that Sunday night and touched my heart with the need of salvation. I was sitting by the prettiest little 12-year-old brown-headed Yankee girl you've ever seen in your life. I met her when I was 9 years old and fell madly in love with her. 10 years later, I married her, and that's been 41 years ago. I got up from my seat and went forward that night and told the preacher I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to be saved. And someone showed me how I could know that I had eternal life. And I asked Christ to come into my heart and save me that night. I wish I could testify to you that all through my teenage years I remained faithful and true. Unfortunately, I'm afraid I was a terrible disappointment to the Lord in so many areas. I married about a year after I graduated from high school. I'd been to the Nashville Auto Diesel College and spent some time learning how to work on diesel engines. Returned to Tallahassee, Florida, and went to work for McKenzie Tank Lines in the Mack Truck dealership as a diesel mechanic. Was also in June of 69, my wife and I were married. And we moved to Tallahassee. We rented a house, 3-bedroom, fully furnished, for $75 a month. We were driving a brand new Ford Mustang. 3 years, it was financed $89 a month. We bought us a mobile home later, about a year later, $89 a month. Of course, I was knocking down $1.90 an hour as a diesel mechanic. And I had worked up a bit to almost $3 an hour. Wow. Big money. One day, a pickup truck backed up into our garage. We had a huge garage, big enough to get the tractors in. And he backed in, and this portly, jolly fellow got out. He said, "Who'll help me unload my toolbox?" And he introduced himself as Gene Johnson, and I helped Gene get his toolbox out of the truck, all set up. He almost immediately started inviting me to church. I resisted for a while. I was going to church, but not to the church that he was attending, Maranatha Baptist Church in Tallahassee, Florida. But he was persistent. "I want you to go to church with me." Finally, he said, "We're having a revival this week. Surely you could come one night to a revival meeting with me." And I told my wife, he's never going to stop. We might as well go. And so on Tuesday night, we went. I never knew there was an independent Baptist church. I'd never heard of such a thing. It turned out that's what this was, but I didn't know it. But I heard preaching the likes of which I'd never heard in my life. And I was like a sponge. I went back Wednesday night and Thursday night, Friday night. Didn't have a service Saturday night. That was disappointing. I went back Sunday morning. I went back Sunday night. I went back Wednesday night. I went back the next Sunday morning. Sunday school, church. I went out with a group soul winning on Sunday afternoon and back to church on Sunday night. Out on visitation on Tuesday night. After I was there a few weeks, a fellow by the name of Doc Horton came in. And Doc and I would get tracts from the fellowship tract leading. In those days, they didn't fold them for you. You get them free, but they didn't fold them. And so we would sit under the pecan trees out behind the church on Saturday morning, and we'd fold those gospel tracts. And then he and I would go out all over Tallahassee passing out gospel tracts. I couldn't get enough. I don't know anything that I felt like I would give up as a sacrifice to go do something at church. I thought in those days, this is the best thing in the world. It was the people I wanted to hang around. I was doing the things I wanted to do. It wasn't like Tuesday night would come and I'd say, oh, I have to go visiting tonight. It was just a blessing to go. And Sunday afternoon to go out soul winning. And those things were just the highlights for both my wife and I. I had been in that church about a year. And I started feeling this unusual tug in my heart. I didn't know what it was. I felt like there was something I needed or there was something I needed to do. But I couldn't identify it. It was just the preacher would preach or I'd read my Bible. And I took a little Gideon New Testament with me to work every day. And every minute that I would have off, I'd be found somewhere going through that New Testament. And I'd read as far as I could until the break time was over. And then I'd put my marker there and put it in my pocket. And the next break I got, right back to it again. I was so hungry. It crossed my mind one day that the Lord was calling me to preach. But I knew that couldn't be. And I talked to the Lord about that. I said, Lord, you remember when I was in the 11th grade in high school, we had that class where I had to give those three-minute speeches. And he said, I do remember that. Well, I said, do you remember I never finished one? I mean, you had to stand in front of the class whether you said anything or not. And so I'd talk for about a minute or so, and then I couldn't think of anything else to say, and I'd just stand there and turn red. He said, I remember that too. I said, well, doesn't that matter? Oh, he said, no. Don't concern yourself with that. I remember the first time the pastor called on me to pray in church. And I know you're going to think this, I'm exaggerating this. I know you will, but I promise you I'm not. In an instant, I thought, if I make a break for the side door, is there someone here that could bring my wife home? I'm serious. It was that bad. And I finally conjured up enough to pray. I have no idea what I said, but I'm sure the Lord had a real laugh that day. Look at him. But after a while, I was convinced. Yes, that's what the Lord is doing. I'd never had this before. I'd never felt this before. But I knew there was something more. And whatever that was, not knowing any specifics, just knowing there was something more, I said, Lord, okay. Whatever it is, I'll try. But if I can't do it, it's your fault. You led me out this way. He said, don't worry about it. And so I surrendered to preach. My pastor said, I've had this happen a number of times. He said, so I want you to pray about this for about 6 weeks. And he said, if you're still confident God's leading you to enter the ministry, he said, then I'll help you. And I said, okay. About 2 weeks later, I'm about to bust. I came back to him. I said, preacher, I know. There's no doubt. I know he's calling me. He said, okay. A week from Sunday night, you can preach for me. I said, now, I want you to understand something. I know he's calling me. I don't know I have to do it that soon. So he started working with me and helped me to get a message together, and I preached on that Sunday night. My mom, dad came. Several relatives came. Nobody could believe I was going to preach. No one who ever knew me could believe that I was going to preach. They came. I preached for about 20 minutes and gave about a 40-minute invitation. I had a cousin, Crystal, who came forward that night. Now, if she were here today, she would come forward today too, because she finally caught on to the idea that nobody was going home till somebody did something. And so she didn't really care anything about getting saved. It's just she wanted to go home. And that was not going to happen till somebody did something. And anyway, it was a night to be forgotten. And my pastor said, you need to go to school. I said, I hate school. The last thing on earth I want to do is go to school. I want to preach. He said, okay. So he started lining up places all over South Georgia, North Florida, Central Florida. And he'd send me out on the weekends preaching these various places where he knew pastors. About 3 months after that, I came back to him and I said, where were those schools you was talking about? I need lots of help. And he just smiled and told me of some schools. And my wife and I took our vacation that summer and visited. And I knew God wanted me to go to Bob Jones University. I knew. We headed home after that trip. And she said, what do you think? I said, I don't think. I know. I come to find later, they had rules we'd never heard of. Somebody told me we ought not go mix bathing. I said, you're right about that, Jack. Nobody bathing with me. I grew up in Florida. My soul on earth, I thought bathing was taking a bath. Come to find out, they were talking about swimming. We adapted to those rules, primarily because I knew God called me to go to Bob Jones University. And I knew God knew their rules before I got there. And so if he was leading me to go there, and he knew their rules already, he must want me to keep them. And I did, by the grace of God. The last year and a half I was in school there, I pastored, well, I preached at, I didn't know what pastoring was, but I preached at a little mill community church for the last year and a half I was there. And then after graduation, the Lord called me to the Central Baptist Church of Greenville, Tennessee, the best church in the country. I had a wonderful 9 years. Thought I would spend my entire life right there. Two of my four children were born there. I have no war stories to tell. I pastored the best deacons in the world. Good men. Loved God. Loved their preacher. Loved their church. I nothing but good things to say about them. And so it was a real surprise to me, as I shared with you yesterday, that after almost 9 years being there in Lisbon, Portugal, the Lord spoke to my heart about missions some just over 25 years ago. It took me so by surprise that I prayed from December until April until I finally was convinced, yes, this is what I'm to do. And I shared with the deacons that God is leading me into full-time missions work. And one of my deacons went to the tape room where he kept a record of the tapes and labeled them and so on. And he came back with a little notebook and he said, "Preacher, I've been in the habit all these years of when something moves me, I make a note of it in this little notebook by these messages." And he said, "Here is the date, the Sunday that you returned from Portugal." And he had written in the margin of that little notebook, "The pastor's heart has moved." I had no idea. Had no idea. He never said a word to me about that until that night. But the Lord had moved my heart. I wept every day. I could not imagine leaving Central Baptist Church. I wept every day. But I knew it was what the Lord wanted. And so I asked the Lord if it'd be okay if my kids finished out their school year. And in June, we moved to Wilmington, North Carolina. I wish I had time to tell you all that God did. It so amazes me of how God made a way for us. A man I'd never met before put $10,000 down on a house for me. I'd never met him before in my life. He paid $100 a month on the house payment for the 2 years that we lived there on deputation. A story after story after story after story I could tell you about how God in unbelievable ways took care of us in those early days, getting our kids in the Christian school and all of those things. And so I started out on deputation. I didn't have any money. So my family stayed there at the house this guy was helping me buy. I put a pup tent, a Coleman lantern, a Coleman stove, $17 worth of groceries and a brown paper bag in the trunk of my car. Took off on deputation. If a pastor gave me a place to stay, I said, "Thank you." If he didn't, I'd go to the woods and put the tent up, stay there and use a payphone to call and schedule other meetings until I needed to go to my next place. And I did that and did that. And then you saw it must have been difficult. I loved camping. What could be difficult about that is I was enjoying myself. But, year and 9 months, and we raised our support up. And I thought I was going to stay here. I didn't know I was going anywhere, but ended up going to Grenada, West Indies to fill in until some other missionaries got there. And that's where I met Brother John O'Malley. And we've been together now a very, very long time. I appreciate so much his love for the Lord and for missions. But I have come into this work that was not born in my heart. Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions was born in my pastor's heart, Dr. Bill Wingard. In 1964, reading a Post magazine that featured Micronesia, he said, "I wonder if there are any missionaries there." And he couldn't find any that were. It took him 7 years to get a message on the radio out there, but it was finally heard by, I think, a retired school teacher who went to his Samuelis and said, "There's a guy that preached on the radio today who believes what you believe." And through a process of time, Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions was born, and Pastor Wingard graciously invited me in to be a part of what God birthed in his heart in those early days. Time would fail me tonight or today to tell you the whole story. Nobody from nowhere. With a God who is everything and everywhere. I told you I dreamed of preaching to 100 people at one time. I've preached to more than 6,000 at one time. I've preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in more than 50 countries. Nobody from nowhere. The pinnacle of my ministry was not preaching to 6,000. The pinnacle of my ministry was the day that my 59-year-old dad knelt with me and got saved by the grace of God. I've stood in the blazing sun in Africa, preached in a village, and 37 came forward to be saved by the grace of God. That was seed that had been planted by a man that only been saved for 7 months. Makambola, God bless his memory. You maybe this morning feel like you're nobody from nowhere. But you serve a God that's everything. And he's everywhere. And he will do more through you than you're capable to dream. God bless you as you follow him.